fourth time tonight, and the first for DeMarcus.
Jake Elliott, bump the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Frisco Report. Coming into you live here, episode 3. Big time. The season's here. Got my co-host here, Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Joe, man? It's been a heck of a week. A lot of refreshing on Twitter, but we're here.
Yeah. We're here. Yeah, I'm with you on that, dude. Like, nonstop refreshing. The battery's been drained all day. I've been in the red all day.
Oh, me too. I really have. And the Note 8, it has a good battery life, but not today. Not this past week. So.
Yeah, man. All right, everybody. So we have a packed podcast for you guys. So thanks for hanging with the Frisco Report. We got a lot of good stuff packed in this one. We're going to touch on just a broad overview on the roster. Is it ready for 2019? Some, you know, players that you know, were surprised to make the team and things like that. And then we're gonna talk about the Lyle Collins extension. We'll do a quick hit on Zeke Watch. Hopefully that comes down this evening, maybe tomorrow. And then we'll close it out with the Cowboys-Giants preview. All right. So without further ado, Mike, let's get into it. You know, the roster cuts, they just finished, you know, a few days ago. You know, it looks like a lot of the little moves are done. Practice squad's in place. 53-man roster's in place. What's your overall feel for this 2019 roster?
A lot of depth on defense and on the offensive line. You know, they protected themselves there. Not surprised they went 2 quarterbacks. Not surprised they went 3 tight ends. Mm-hmm. And I'm super surprised they went 5 wide receivers.
Yeah.
But I think this roster can make a run, Joe. This is probably the most talented roster that I've seen since I've been consistently watching the Cowboys since the year 2000. Seriously.
Yeah, it's deep, man. It really is a deep roster. You know, we talked about this leading up to roster cuts that, you know, you are going to lose some good players just because this roster's, you know, I'm not going to say 100% stacked, but there's a lot of talent at every positional group. So, you know, Daniel Wise didn't make it, but he did make the practice squad. I think he's a gem for us, man. I think if we can hold on to him and, you know, nobody plucks him off our squad, I think he might be your Tyrone Crawford replacement. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. He has to be. I mean, he really showed out in that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, he was just everywhere. He was disruptive. Hopefully, they can stash him on that practice squad and get him on this 53-man next year. But I'm focused on this roster. I'm just kidding. No, I'm ready for football. That's what it is. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. You touched on the wide receivers, 5 deep. That one does kind of concern me. Now, I got a question for you here, Mike. So, you know, we're coming down to it, you know, on the Zeke contract, and we'll just tie that in into the roster conversation. But who's going to be your sacrificial lamb to when they bring Zeke back onto the roster? Who's the odd man out? Is it Chun? Is it Alfred Morris? Or is it somebody at a different position? What's your gut feeling there?
I'm going to say it's Alfred Morris is released. Just because Jordan Chun can play special teams. He's been pretty productive in camp, OTA, stuff like that. So, and they were high on him. But I'm thinking Alfred Morris would probably be the odd man out. What do you think?
That's exactly what I was thinking, man. Alfred Morris, he does everything except special teams. And I think that just hurts him, you know. And then Jordan Chun, to me, seems like a guy you want to keep around. And you know, second year under the system, so he knows everything. Runs hard. I think he's a better version of Rod Smith. He can catch it, runs with power, you know, has pretty good shake to him. So I like Jordan Chun a lot, man. And, you know, that you're right. I mean, I feel the same way. I think it would be Alfred Morris. So we'll see what happens here.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Alfred Morris, and he's a veteran. He's done good things for the Cowboys. I just, going forward, you got to be smart. You got to get young on your roster. That's how You know, you don't have to pay everybody if you stay young, keep these guys on, you know, on rookie deals. So I think that the Cowboys would let Morris go.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's about keeping, you know, the fresh talent coming in, because it turns, man. This roster keeps turning, you know. And what we had last year, you know, isn't really what we had this year, and so on. So what we had 2 years ago. So it's pretty amazing how the NFL keeps these rosters churning. You know, it's all about that parity. Who's drafting good and who's not? You know, who's spending a lot of money on free agents and who's spending money on their own guys? And we see what the Cowboys are doing. You know, the free agency, we're not free agency spenders, because, not to toot our horns, but the Cowboys, they've been drafting well. And, you know, we're signing our own guys to big ass contracts. So
I would toot the horn just because how successful they've been. Yeah. I mean, what team can really, I mean, Bill Belichick, I mean, been doing it, and the guy just won 6 Super Bowls, but the Cowboys are adapting to that. They're really not overpaying. I mean, you look at these team friendly deals, and everything just seems smart. And if, as long as they keep drafting, you're not going to be able to pay everybody, but if you can keep drafting well, you can replace that with something fresh. So, good things are coming in Dallas, especially for the roster's sake.
Yeah, it kind of does feel like the Cowboys are kind of, you know, following that Bill Belichick Patriots kind of strategy. And I know they get that from Jimmy Johnson, because I know Belichick meets with Jimmy Johnson quite often. So I think the one last thing that the Cowboys are missing is flipping players. You know what I mean? Like, the Patriots are so good at flipping players and turning around and getting first round picks for some of these guys. And that's the one final piece to the puzzle here that the Cowboys, you know, I think they're on their way to doing that, because the talent is just starting to stack up. You're going to have good players that other teams are going to covet. So I think we're almost there to, you know, if that's what the Cowboys are trying to do. So,
yeah, you know, and that's something that, you know, I think, you know, we pay our guys, you know, we get on the Cowboys for holding on to players too long, and not turning players into draft picks. And if they do turn a player to draft picks, it's like 6th or 7th round, you know, acquisition. So I think that the Cowboys, they get, if they're going to take the next step and really take over the Bill Belichick strategy, they got to start getting 3rd or better round picks for their players. That's the only way it's going to work.
Right on. Right on, man. I think we're almost there. We're almost turning the corner there. So the other thing here, Mike, so we kind of touched on it. 5 receivers seems really light. How do you feel about Cedric Wilson probably seeing starting time here, getting elevated to this roster? You know, we got some injury-prone-ish type of players with Cobb at the hamstrings. Tavon Austin has only played under 33% of his career. So do you feel that there's going to be that opportunity for Cedric to eventually play on this 53 roster?
Oh, absolutely. It's a long season. I mean, 16 games, 16 weeks, 17 weeks don't sound like a lot, but when you get in the cold months and soft tissue starts hardening and things get pulled, I can see Cedric Wilson finding his way on a 53-man roster, not just on this team, but maybe on another team. So, you know, Cowboys really got to be smart with them. But, you know, one thing about players is that they can say, hey, so-and-so's calling me up to the active roster. And the Cowboys can either give them a bump in pay on their practice squad salary, or they can elevate them to the 53-man roster. So Cowboys, you know, they have the say-so, basically, on what they want to do with the player. But the player obviously has the last decision of, does he want to stay or does he want to get on the 53? But I think Cedric Wilson will be on this 53 sometime this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't see Tavon being able to finish a complete 16, you know, a 17-week season, even with the bye week. I mean, he is what he is. He misses a lot of time. He hasn't even played 50% of his career. That number is crazy to me. But they love his speed. They like him in the return game. But, yeah, I think Cedric could see some some significant time here. You know, hopefully nobody plucks him off the roster. He was one guy that I really thought would make it. So,
you know, me too. It was a shocker that he didn't. But shout out to Devin Smith, though.
Yeah,
I mean, he won the job. It was tough competition. There are some catches I would like to see both of them make during this competition, during these preseason games. But Devin Smith and Devin Smith was making – okay, Cedric Wilson could run the ball and do that on special teams. Who can make tackles? Who could be physical? Who can go out there and stop a punt returner or kick returner? And Devin Smith is the reason why he won that job is because of that.
Yeah, that's a good little find, man. It's just like, you know, Cowboys are known for this. You know, they like to give chances to former high round picks, you know, like first and second rounders, and it sure looks like they have something with him. You know, he's still, you know, those surgeries don't look like it's affected his speed at all. He's still a burner. We see him getting down the field. He looks good running his routes. And then, you know, he's there with Sanjay now, so he's getting more technical there. I think it's a perfect match for him. So I like it, man. I like Devin Smith being on this team with us.
Oh, me too. It's just another speed element and reliable hands.
Yeah. So the other interesting thing about the roster was, you know, Rolando McClain got reinstated. Mm-hmm. Cowboys still had the rights to him, but they decided to, yeah, exactly. Mr. Purple Syrup Lean or whatever they want to call it. I mean, yeah. We'll see what he does. We'll see who picks him up.
If anybody.
Yeah, if anybody. He's just a headache, man. He's not worth the trouble. But interesting that they kept Gifford, linebacker. I love that. He just looked like he's like one of those special finds, man. Just like, okay, this guy, he's going to be your Sam guy in 2020, it looks like. Because.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I've said this before, like the Sam linebacker is not a position that plays a lot of snaps. So you're not going to spend a high round pick, maybe a fourth at the most, right? A fourth or fifth round pick. So for him, you know, he's a steal, comes from a good program, and I'm excited for him, man. I'm really excited for that player that he just popped off, and he looks like he looked like a vet. He didn't look like a rookie to me.
Right. You know? And he only had one game against the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. And he missed the next three preseason games. So just the confidence and the talent the Cowboys seen in him and playing, there's no reason not to have him on this team. I mean, he played lights out with these second stringers. And I think he had some starts in there, too, against the 49ers. So, with the first string. So, he really took advantage of his opportunity. And you only get so many on a 90-man roster. And with being an undrafted free agent like Luke Gifford and just only playing one preseason game and you're on the 53-man roster, it says a lot. A lot of talent there.
No, for sure. Yeah, for sure, Mike. So, let's close out the roster talk with this last question. What, in your mind, is the weak point for this roster? Like, what scares you about this roster going into 2019?
Backup quarterback. God forbid something happens to Dak. I don't really think let's say Cooper Rush had to play four games because Dak tweaked a hamstring or something. I don't see Cooper Rush taking over a game if he has to, because I mean, once Dak goes out, you could put eight in the box, and does Cooper Rush have the arm strength and the knowledge of the game to get it out there? I think the Cowboys should have got a veteran quarterback back there behind Dak, and just for just insurance. I mean, they invested $10 million to Orton. What was the Broncos?
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton, they invested $10 million for a backup for Romo because they knew how Romo was. I think they need to get smart and do the same thing for Dak Prescott because you just never know. And when Dak runs, cringe every time because you just never know.
Yeah, because he doesn't slide. He goes head forward. So right. It's kind of scary.
And,
I mean,
and he does front flips and end zones. And I get it. He wants to make the play, but you got to protect yourself.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Zeke hurdling either. I just feel like you land wrong, you're going to blow your knee out. Like, I don't like those showboating moves.
Exactly. Exactly. Who would be your player, Joe?
Mine's not really a player per se, but it is a position. And for me, it's the O-line. I just don't like the backup death at O-line. I mean, they kept Brandon Knight, Redmond, Looney. Obviously, you don't really have to worry about him at center. But Fleming, you know, you knew he was going to make it because of the contract. But he's more of a right tackle. They have him at left tackle. He's not very good there. And, you know, those backup guards are not good, man. They're not good. And McGovern's all messed up. They put him on IR with the pec. So the backup O-lineman kind of scared me because you know Tyron's going to miss some time with the back. You know, hopefully it's not more than a game here or there during the season because, you know, you just never know with those backs. And Zach Martin, he missed a little time. What was his issue? He had
a compressed disc in his back.
His was a back issue too, right? Yeah, so his back issues are, and I've said this before, like they're just ticking time bomb. Zach Martin, for me, I'm not so much worried about him. He's younger. He doesn't really have to, you know, move as much as a tackle does. But Tyron, that one does kind of scare me. And Fleming out there long term, I think that'll hurt you.
You brought up good points, but and that the Knight guy, that was a huge surprise to me. I don't even know who that guy is, and I wasn't even looking out for him this entire time, so yeah. I can't talk on him because I wasn't even looking out for this guy. But I could put my faith in a guy like Xavier Suafilo, you know, and Joe Looney could play center and guard just in case you need that. We also have position flex. I think that you can throw Connor Williams out in left tackle if you need to, if push comes to shove. But I see your points, but I'm like, okay, I think I'm putting more faith in Mark Colombo, if that makes any sense.
No, that's a good point because, you know, he looks like he's getting the most out of these guys. You know, I think he handpicked. Definitely, he had a big voice in there keeping Brandon Knight. You know, he sees something right in him. You know, he was right projected as a tackle. They moved him inside as a guard. So maybe they like his brawling style. So that's good. I think eventually they want to keep him, and Suafilo's probably gone after this year. That's just my guess.
No, yeah, you're spot on there.
No, but you do make a good point about Connor Williams. Like, you know, if push comes to shove, let's get a look at him. You know what I mean? Like, if Fleming is getting beat game after game, then obviously they would have to make some kind of. But the Cowboys are so stubborn, like especially with Chaz Green, they gave that guy every chance in the world. They even sacrificed a game with him, dude. That Atlanta game.
Player loyalty is big under Jason Garrett.
It is. It really is. They are so stubborn with that crap, dude. So we'll see, man. That's the thing that kind of worries me about Fleming. Like, he could have a bad game here and there, and they'll stick with him. It'll take, you know, a big backlash by fans and others to really get a change. But let's knock on wood here. Let's knock on wood and hope that these guys make it through. So, but that's it, man. But we could dovetail now. Let's move the conversation to our discussion here, talking about offensive linemen. Lyle Collins, he got the extension, 5-year extension, $50 million. What was your first take on that, Mike?
You know, when Jalen Smith got his contract, Jerry Jones called it a Dallas Cowboys story. And I think this right here is a Dallas Cowboys story. You go all the way back to 2015, and just a couple of weeks before the 2015 draft, Lyle Collins is wanted for to talk to police about the murder of his ex-girlfriend. Horrible timing, and that, I mean, he was supposed to basically, you switch Eric Flowers with Lyle Collins supposed to be a New York Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this happens and he don't even get drafted. The Dallas Cowboys bring him over to Jerry Jones' house. They have a delicious meal, and they're talking to him. He signs with Dallas. He talks about he wants to be the greatest offensive lineman in football. They move him from left guard to to right tackle. There's still some things to fix, but I think under Mark Colombo that stuff could happen. And then they extended his money earlier, and then he just got this extension here. So I think this is a Cowboy contract story, Joe, or Cowboy contract story, whatever you want to call it. This right, Lyle Collins is walking proof. I mean, this guy got dubbed, and now all his work has been rewarded. And I'm happy for the guy. I really am. And it was team friendly. When he signed with Dallas back in 2015, he wanted to stay a Dallas Cowboy for life. And actions speak louder than words. And today, those actions spoke louder than words.
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, it is a good contract. I mean, he did get paid. So it is a very good contract for all parties. And you make a good point. I think his career has come full circle. He's finally getting the payday that you know, he should have got coming out, and you hit it right on the head. A friend of mine, and I'm sure your brother knows about this. Lyle Collins was their target, and they went with Eric Flowers, which is crazy to me. Like, Eric Flowers is a complete disaster.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, man, those Giants fans, they gotta be hating life, dude, because they've been taking. That set them back, and when you miss on a first round player, it'll set you back. It does set your team back. Like, they're barely recovering from that offensive line gaffe. I mean,
oh, absolutely. We're kind of feeling the effects from Taco, so we know exactly how it feels.
Yeah. You miss on a first round, it hurts. So, yeah, man, it is a good story. It is a good story. I really didn't think about that, but now, you know, hearing you talk about it, yeah. It really is a good story. It's a feel good story, and yep. And when I talk about it in my video, it's also another example of these players being grateful to the team and having an allegiance. Like Jalen Smith, grateful the Cowboys, you know, rolled the dice on him. Yeah, took a chance. They didn't know if that nerve was gonna wake up. It was a risk.
A centimeter or a millimeter or something like that nerve was going to grow back a day.
Yeah.
That is a huge chance.
Yeah. Yeah, it was big. So, yeah, these guys, they're really good stories, and they're key parts of the offense. Okay, so so now my question was, I talked about this in my video, is that before Lyle Collins got this, some of the thinking was that he was gonna, you know, out price himself for the Cowboys. Like, he's gonna want a lot of money. Tackles, they're a premium position. They're probably gonna let him walk, and that's why they drafted Connor McGovern, right? Like, that's been some of the conversation before this and during the draft. That was one of the selling points. Like, all right, man, we took this guy from Penn State, can play center, can play tackle. I mean guard, right? So.
Right.
And they're going to move Connor Williams over to right tackle, this and that. So now it's like, well, he's here. He ain't going anywhere. He's a Cowboy for life.
Yep.
So what? That being said, what is your feeling on the Cowboys' offensive line future here? Like, do you see us just keeping Connor McGovern as a backup?
I don't want to steal the thunder here. You know, we talked behind the scenes today when this happened this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and let you talk on this first because you made a heck of a good point today. So, Joe, I reversed the question to you, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing about me is that, you know, I find it very hard to believe that they would make a draft move like that. You know, like, okay, and then you think about some of the safeties that would have been available there. When they took McGovern, like, the whole thing was, hey, let's get this guy and this guy. Let's get this safety. He's still on the board. We took a guard. What the heck are we doing? So, and then they sell you on the idea. The Cowboys sell you on the idea. Like, okay, he gives you guard flex and, you know, center flex. So, but what I'm talking about is, like, how this deal, you know, as good as it is for the story is a good story, but. Is there anything that was talked about Tyron Smith? Like, the back issues are continuing to be a storyline for Tyron Smith.
Yep.
And he's a vested and people love to throw this out there, like, he's still young, he's still young, he's 28, he's gonna be 29. Like, I get that, and I see that out there on Twitter, but you also have to remember he's been in the league for a long time. So yes, he's young, but he has a lot of tread now. So I don't buy that, the youth part. I mean, we've seen young guys retire before early. I mean, Andrew Luck just retired. You know, you don't want to go through the rigors of playing through pain or whatever it is. And the linebacker from San Francisco, both those guys retired from concussions. I mean, what was it, Willis? And then the other guy, I forget his name, but he retired. So, I mean, there's stories all across the league about, you know, players want to protect themselves more now than ever, right? So, my thing is, with the back issues, and we kind of touched on this earlier, is for Tyron Smith, you know, how much longer are they going to be able to roll the dice on that? You know, they're giving him vet days. And for me, a vet day, now I'm kind of thinking that the Cowboys, they want to call vet days, but it's really, you know, to help these injuries, you know, heal. Because back issues, they require a lot of rest to heal. So when they call it a vet day, I'm like, okay, something's up here. I mean, missed a lot of time for mini camp, training camp, preseason, and you know, and it's not throwing any hate on anybody at all. You know, I just want to put that out there clear. But what I do like about the deal for Lyle Collins, you do protect yourself, because if there is an issue with Tyron, you know, we don't know. If his back is going to lock up after he plays that game against the Giants, we seen him play a game and have to come out, you know, and then we saw Chaz Green. It was a total disaster. So, you know, it does happen, and I'm pretty sure it will happen again. Cameron Fleming is going to have to play, hopefully not more than a game, but kudos to Tyron Smith. I mean, he's played through a lot of pain, and that's just kind of the thing that I'm talking about, is how, from a player point of view, you know, you want to keep your health. You know, now how much longer can he keep playing through this pain? I feel like maybe, you know, that there's a surgery that might be needed, and he's kind of delaying it. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to drag this on too long, but
I see what you're saying, though. Yeah. And you know, and when you said that this morning, I was like, holy crap, what an awesome point. You know, Tyron, I mean, we could be seeing the last couple of years of him. But, you know, like you said, they protected themselves, and Lyle Collins, the McGovern pick, if this guy can get healthy, you know, and I hope that McGovern ain't one of those players that can consistently getting injured and can't get his body right, because obviously that would be a big bust at that third round pick. So, you know, the Cowboys, I mean, they got depth, and they're going to continue to have depth. And now the eyes are on Tyron Smith of, let's go, let's see where you're at. We protected ourselves with Lyle Collins, because a lot of people thought Lyle Collins, like you said, was going to ask for a lot of money, which he got $35 million in guarantees, which makes him the highest paid guaranteed money at the right tackle position. Right. So, mm-hmm. So it was team friendly, but Cowboys scratched his back too. But no, awesome points there, Joe. Don't disagree with none of it.
Yeah. So, you know, again, let's knock on wood here. We want Tyron Smith. He's definitely still one of the best guys in the league when he's on the field. And he's been on the field a lot. It's not like this guy's missing like 4 and 5 and 6 games, nothing like that. But, you know, your team is affected when your star, blindside player's not there. It's a different game. You know, you got, It just affects you. So let's hope you can keep it going, man. Let's hope you can keep it going. So next topic here, let's go ahead and move on here. Zeke watch still in effect, but you know, after days of constant updates, refreshing Twitter, like you said, you know, the deal is closed. Like that's all we've been hearing for the last week and a half. So finally, it seems like something is happening. He actually is here. There's video proof of him landing in Dallas. He is here in Dallas with Rocky Arsenault, his agent. And the agent, you know, came out and said that, that we feel that the deal is close enough for us to come out here. So that is very positive. you know, a few details. I guess they're closing out some deals here. I guess the wording on the contract, but you know, the rumor is that it's hovering around $6 for $90 million. I mean, I don't know what the final number is going to be, but what do you feel about this, Mike? About the money? About this finally coming to a conclusion, or is it? Are they going to leave back to Cabo? What's your gut feeling here?
I think it's going to get done. You know, there was reports going around, video reports when Zeke got back to the airport. Are you ready to play? Are you ready to be with your team? And Zeke said, I've been ready. Mm-hmm. So Zeke's hungry to get back to his team. He's anxious. You know, I think his agent had a lot to say about him missing out on those special bond moments with the team, you know, during this training camp, training camp process. But I think it's going to get done. Rocky said that it's very, very, very close. Couldn't give a timetable on it, but he did, you know, sure, we're here to do business, and the Cowboys are also here to do business. So I think Zeke will be on the practice field tomorrow. We're gonna find out that it's gonna be exactly 24 hours when we found out Lyle Collins got extension and Zeke. We might find out tonight before we go to bed, because Rocky and them were supposed to meet with Stephen Jones tonight, and they're probably talking right now. And Zeke is actually on Twitter. He just put out a tweet that Dirk Lewinsky, the basketball player, said, you know, I thought the people were happy to see me be coming back from Dallas, but all the attention was to Zeke. And he put two crying emojis. So Zeke's is comfortable enough to be on social media. So I think steps have been made, and I think Zeke gets signed first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's a great take right there, Mike, because you're right. He has been off the grid and went dark, you know, for the most part on social media. So that's an awesome point too. So good take there, Mike. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's going to happen tonight. You know, they're talking about, Stephen Jones said that if we have to go to the midnight hour burning that oil, we're going to get it done. So things are more positive than ever. I mean, this does finally feel like it's coming to a conclusion, you know, and the numbers, yeah, I mean, if they stay true to, you know, 6 for $90, that comes out to about 15. We'll have to see how it breaks down for guarantees and that kind of thing, you know, but what's your gut feeling on if that's what he's going to get paid? Are you good with that there, or do you feel like it's a little bit too much or not enough, or what do you think?
Well, I know the Cowboys are trying to strategize it to where the guarantees are going to be in the back end of the contract.
Yeah.
I honestly, as a fan perspective, and knowing the history of the inconsistent off the field issues with Zeke, I would rather want that in the front of the contract rather than there in the back, because you just never know. I mean, he's one incident, one accusation away from being indefinitely suspended by the NFL.
Yeah, that's the thing about it, man. That's scary.
I want that front loaded to be in the front. And I know this has nothing to do with the Cowboys, but Jared Goff just agreed to more than $32 million a year on a 4-year extension with the Rams. So Dak Prescott has some new numbers to look out for. And it's supposed to be the highest guaranteed money of an NFL quarterback. So Dak Prescott's licking his chops too.
Man, and I've been saying this crap, man. That kind of annoys me, because I've talked about, watch out for that Goff number. And if they wait till December, that's when that Patrick Mahomes draft class can re-up their contract. And they cannot wait, man, because that's going to be Patrick Mahomes, that will be $40 million. That will be $40 million. So that Prescott,
if you continue to throw 50 touchdowns a season.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so.
But no, they pretty much already agreed on a 4-year deal. Jared Goff did. So Dak Prescott will be sending Jared Goff a thank you note here pretty soon.
Interesting news right there. That's a good catch, Mike. That's a good catch. And that's the kind of, you know, information that we give you at the Frisco Report. We're fresh with the latest news, you know, and giving it to you here first, you know, and these things do impact the team, you know. Jerry and these guys, they want to say that it's not, you know, that we're dealing with our team here, but nah, the numbers from other players on other teams, it does affect the market. You know, let's be real. So that Jared Goff number, that's a little bit of a game changer there.
Oh yeah. And we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have a quarterback hold out.
That could be the next year's headache, because if they slap a franchise tag, he might want to do kind of what DeMarcus Lawrence was kind of I wouldn't say threatening to do, but you know, there was rumors that he was going to hold out. So that's kind of scary, man. Just because you get the franchise tag doesn't mean you're not going to hold out. So Cowboys got to be careful with that. But let's close this out here with a little preview. All right, Mike, let's talk about this first game of the year. This is exciting for me and you because this will be our first podcast review. First game of the year, Cowboys versus Giants. Let's talk about this game. Let's do a preview. All right.
Are you telling me football's back?
Football's back, baby. Football's back.
Football is back.
Football's back for the rest of the year. You don't have to worry about no more football-less Sundays.
I'm sending a text to my wife right now. I'll see you on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah. All wives and girlfriends, they're dreading this time of year. I guarantee you that. I used to get flack from that. And I was, hey, it's Cowboys football. You knew what you were getting into.
You dang right. You dang right. I have missed the game in years, and I'll be damned if I miss one today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a relationship, you know? It's a relationship.
It really is, and sometimes they break our hearts.
Oh, yeah. More often than not, man.
The first game of the year, man. It's at home. AT&T Stadium, Giants are coming in. Recently opening to the Giants at AT&T Stadium, Cowboys have dominated that game. And I don't see anything different this year. You look at the talent on defense, you look at the talents on offense, you get to see what Kellen Moore is bringing to the NFL. The run scheme is going to be the same, but I cannot wait to see wide receiver route patterns. I can't wait to see the strategy on how he calls games. Short passes, set up a screen, short passes, hit the long ball, play action, bootlegs, maybe a flea flicker. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready to see this Kellen Moore offense. I'm ready for these haters to be quiet when and where we dominate these Giants 35-7.
Yeah, that's a blowout.
You better know it.
Yeah, so yeah, to what to say what you're saying there too, man. I think it's gonna be, especially if Zeke is there. I mean, it just blows the door open on offense. I want to see exactly what you're talking about, that Kellen Moore offense. You know, they didn't reveal anything in the preseason. I didn't expect them to. You know, they did a little things here and there, but for the most part, it's going to be a complete unleashing. They're going to unleash something on these Giants, and it's going to be something crazy. I want to see the two back set. I want to see Zeke and Pollard in the backfield. You know, keep that Giants defense on their heels. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Amari Cooper, how does that foot look? I mean, I want to know right there, and we'll know right off the bat. Are we going to be in trouble after this game? Does he finish the game? Is he fine? So that'll be good, but I'm expecting him to have a big game. The Giants corners, not good. They're not good. So Michael Gallup, man, let's talk about Michael Gallup.
I think
this guy looked like a number one to me. We talked about how he's kind of added some muscle. He looks bigger, stronger.
Yep.
Making contested catches. I think he's a little bit under the radar, man. And
using his body all the right ways to catch footballs. I'm really excited to see the Colorado State product out there, man. It's going to be nice.
Big time, big time. And old man Witt,
Mr. Tennessee.
So for some of the flack he gets, let's see him make some of those hallmark catches.
He has 15 touchdowns against these New York Giants in history. So let's 16 come Sunday.
Yeah, he goes. He's a giant killer. Sean Lee he's a giant killer. He played
interceptions after interception, man. I remember Sean Lee had a club on his hand, and he still picked off Eli Manning with one hand.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about the secondary, the purge squad coming together. These guys, man, I'm excited about it. You know, Xavier Woods, I think he might be like, I think he's taking that leap, man. And I think we're going to see it on game days. You know, no longer is he going to be, I wouldn't say in the shadows of Heath, but I think he's his own guy now. I think he is a leader. Yeah. He might be, you know, consider him a leader back there now. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Xavier Woods was mad about all the safety talk. And, you know, he told the Cowboys, you know, you don't need a safety. You got me. And just to have that confidence to say that, go out there, Louisiana Tech product, to go out there and shine. You know, when he was drafted, I thought he should have been drafted where Ryan Switzer was drafted. Cowboys took a chance and let him keep going down that draft, and we finally got him. But I'm really excited to see Xavier Woods. I've been high on 2-5 ever since he came out of Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, he was a very exciting player to study during the draft, and for us to land him and, you know, see him develop into what he's become now, you know, I think the sky's the limit for him. You know, he hasn't hit his ceiling. He still has, you know, more growth, and I think Chris Richard has done a magnificent job with these guys, you know. So purge squad, they're gonna purge. Let's get some interceptions off Manning. Let's sack the crap out of him with Lawrence and Quinn and all these guys, you know. I mean, if this defense smothers the Giants, it's going to be a long day for them.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Shaquan isn't going to have nowhere to run. And what did he have in his first game against the Cowboys? 22 yards rushing the entire game? So, and then the second game, I mean, we held him pretty good. And he had like one breakoff run, and that put him over like 60 yards. But Cowboys know how to stop runners. They know how to, they're disciplined on outside containment. They're disciplined in gap control. So Shaquan's going to have a bad day. So if you have him on your fantasy, do not start him.
That is a good point. That is a good point, Mike, about the run. Now, so what I will say about the Giants is, If they wanna test, you know, what's kind of perceived as what the Cowboys' weak point was in that playoff game with the Rams, they're gonna try it. You know, they're gonna see that the Cowboys fix this, or can we do what Gurley and really Anderson did? You know, it wasn't really Gurley; it was Anderson that really tore us up. So they're gonna test that. Did the Cowboys fix this? Let's see. Let's do a run here. Let's block this guy out. Let's see if they fixed it. So that's going to be a little bit of a thing that I want to watch, you know, like, I think they did a good job, man. Covington, I think he's a sneaky defensive tackle that's going to make a difference. And Malik Collins, man, he wants to get that back. All right, so.
Oh, yeah, he does.
If you're getting that player, if you're getting that determination from Malik Collins, watch out. They ain't going to run nothing. So.
Yep.
They're going to test it. But I think we have answers now for it, you know. So
I got some answers for you real quick, Joe.
Yeah.
Right now, Jane Slater just tweeted, the Dallas Cowboys and Zeke's camp expected to talk at 9 o'clock Central Time. Jerry and Steven are both in New York City. Everyone's still hopeful. Important note here, with the CBA expiring and this tricky 30% rule, it means a lot of financial gymnastics when figuring out cash flow and structuring. So Cowboys and they could be talking right now. She said before 9 o'clock. So right now it's 7:51 p.m. So Zeke's deal could get done at 9:10. Who knows?
Yeah. So hopefully by the time this podcast airs, you know, something will be live. You know, so hopefully we'll have some good news. But maybe they want to carry this to tomorrow and do a press conference and roll out the red carpet. I mean, he is your Ferrari. He's your franchise back, so I'm pretty sure they're gonna want to do
your total investment on offense.
Yeah, don't want to do that. So, but yeah, man, it's exciting, man. This is starting to really get exciting again, you know, because you kind of went into this thing about you know, people trying to sell you on, we can do it. We can do it with Pollard and then and these other guys. And I'm like, I don't know. A rookie, the committee, he's looked good.
Blocking schemes. Can he pick up a blitz? Is he smart enough to pick up a blitz?
Yes. Yes. That's a huge thing, man. So I feel a lot better knowing that Zeke's going to be here. I feel way better, man. So Giants, I'm pumped about this game. I really am now.
I am pumped. Are you cooking anything? Any game? Do you have any season opener superstitions, Joe? What does CowboysBlog.net do before the season starts? 2 hours before kickoff, what do you do? What's your superstitions?
Oh, man. For me, I got the nerves. I get the butterflies because it's exciting, you know. And you want this team to start off on a good footing with the victory, especially against a divisional rival like the Giants. So for me, man, it's just about controlling my nerves. I feel like I'm on the field or something, man. It's crazy. Control the nerves. Yeah. Get some beers in me. Wear the jersey. Wear the cap. It's full on, man. It's full on. So I love it. What about you, Mike?
Oh, man. If you watch my videos on YouTube, I have two flags behind me. And one's fairly new. The other one's really been with me since, I don't know, maybe 10 years, the one with the just a star on it. And I kiss the one with the star on it before football games start. And I got to make sure the flag has no wrinkles in it, no creases, because if it has a wrinkle in it, Cowboys start losing. So I got to check my flag and make sure that it's good. If it has a wrinkle in it, I take it out and Cowboys start winning again. So I make sure my flag is presented right. I make sure my flag is kissed right. And tap it, honor it, love it. Let's go.
That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. Hey, guys, and any of you guys out there, let us know what your superstitions are. Put them there in the comments, you know, whether you're following us on Apple, iTunes, or Google, or Spotify, or Podbean. Put them in the comments. What's your superstitions? How do you get ready for the season opener for the Dallas Cowboys? We want to know. Put that in the comments, guys, and give us those 5-star reviews and, you know, give us some positive feedback on that.
And make sure you share it, guys. And I get butterflies, like you said, like you're playing on the field. I'm right there with you. My stomach is just in a knot. And it don't happen. Like, if it's Sunday night football, the knot doesn't happen until the Sunday night football theme song comes on. Or when Troy Aikman or Joe Buck says the America game of the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when it just knots up.
Yeah. That's what it is, guys. So... Next time you'll be hearing from us, it will be, you know, the Giants post game and how the game went. So, everybody, thanks for riding with us, the Frisco Report. We really do appreciate it, and man, we're just pumped, man. We know you guys are out there, and you know, we'll catch you guys for the next podcast.
Peace.